objectives to the study. The first is to identify obstacles to high quality and affordable services for women in Madhya Pradesh, and then using this, identify multiple areas in which abortion and post-abortion services should focus their attention. The results I'll be presenting today are essentially descriptive. There are other multivariate analyses that are in the works, but not quite ready for today. Madhya Pradesh is one of India's poorest states. It's very socially conservative and predominantly rural. Very low rates of contraceptive use. Sterilization is by far the most prevalent form of controlling fertility. And use of temporary methods is very low. Those of you who are familiar with Indian data will notice that I'm referring to the NFHS-2. There's a more recent NFHS app. This is the essentially the DHS. But these are this correlates very closely with the dates of our survey, so I'm using these figures. At the time, which was 2002, there were only 300 medical centers offering official abortion services in the entire state, which works out roughly to 5 per million of population. At the time the data were collected, which again is in 2002, abortion was legal under specific circumstances and within specific time frames in India, but the abortion pill had not yet been officially legalized. We used a mixed method, a data collection methodology, which combined qualitative and quantitative techniques to get at the sensitive issues which we were interested in, primarily contraceptive use and use of reproductive health services. Data was collected from over 2,400 women. We asked about each pregnancy that they had experienced, and for each pregnancy, what their abortion history was. So for most women, they didn't have any abortion history for each individual pregnancy, but we were able to draw considerable history, essentially a pregnancy history complete with abortion attempts and the specifics about each attempt from this data. Women followed various different pathways to abortion. For the most part, women, we asked about women's intentions and desires at two points in the pregnancy. Again, this is retrospective data, so all the usual caveats apply. But most women prior to the pregnancy, at the beginning of the pregnancy interval, reported agreeing with their husband on whether they wanted the child or not. It's about 18% disagreed. This is 18% of pregnancies in the data set. The woman reported disagreeing with their husband. Typically, that meant that the woman wished to delay or prevent, and the husband didn't, although there are some cases where the opposite is true. Of the woman who wished, or of the pregnancies in which the woman disagreed with her husband, most then also, at a subsequent stage, having become pregnant, also reported wishing to discontinue, although a very significant portion did not wish to discontinue, wish to continue the pregnancy. The key issue here is that 27% of those wishing to terminate didn't even attempt any form of abortion. And we apply a very broad definition of abortion attempt that includes any action that the woman undertook to deliberately end the pregnancy, including methods that are essentially useless, such as drinking hot herbs or teas, or and then ranging all the way to medical termination. So even under this very liberal definition, many did not attempt at all, or at least didn't report it. We asked women about the primary reasons why they did not attempt, and the most important was family opposition. Here I present them by urban and rural, and you'll see that the family opposition is slightly lower in urban, but not dramatically so. It's roughly the same for women themselves opposing abortion, but also roughly equivalent for fear of side effects. But far more women in rural areas reported not knowing where to go and the cost of the abortion. We also asked about their mobility at the time of the pregnancy and their freedom to spend money, and found that they were largely they were not particularly significant factors in urban areas, but they were in rural areas. Among those who did attempt, most reported that the decision to attempt had been made in conjunction with their husbands. Other family members did not appear to be of major importance to these attempts. keep in mind that these are all attempts, not just medical attempts, not attempts that had to go see a doctor. Even so, about 30% of rural women and slightly over 20% of urban women reported that the decision was made by themselves. The majority of women in both urban and rural areas were accompanied to the abortion by their husbands, although substantial portions went by themselves, 18% in urban areas and 10% in rural. In most cases, the husband paid for the abortion attempt. There were major differences between urban and rural areas in terms of accessibility. Most women in both rural and urban areas had to catch a ride somewhere outside of their community to access abortion services, but it was far more the case for rural women, as you might expect. And over half of rural women had to travel for more than an hour to access their abortion services. Whereas most urban women was within half an hour. Use of non-medical providers was very high, particularly in rural areas, just under 60%. And here we're counting both government providers who are licensed to perform abortions and private providers who are providing abortions who may or may not be licensed. So there is variation in the quality of the private providers, but at least their centers, the medical centers, whether they're officially licensed by the government or not. Women using medical providers had far higher success rates than those using non-medical providers in terms of completing the abortion, as you might expect. Women attending medical providers also were much more likely to have the abortion procedure explained to them, and were also more likely to feel that they had been treated well, as opposed to people who had been going to neighbors, friends, people in their community who were providing them with whatever they were using at that point in time to try to abort the pregnancy. There's a small typo here. Over half of the abortion attempts resulted in some complications, and women reported complications ranging from feeling weak to heavy bleeding to damage to the uterus, to the vagina, a quarter of all women reported having severe complications after their abortion attempt. Rural women had more complications and were twice as likely to report severe complications. They also required more bed rest. And severe complications were particularly common when women were using other abortion methods. So they were not using a surgical abortion technique. They were not using taking pills. So these range from whatever's left over, essentially. But they were far higher, although they were a relatively small portion of women, their morbidity was considerably higher than others who had used medical providers. Regardless of where they went, morbidity was high. So, actually it was quite high when they went to medical providers as well, but it has to be weighed against the fact that they were also far more likely to be successful in their abortion attempt, and therefore less likely to try again at the several cases of multiple attempts in our data. Most women did not receive any post-abortion contraceptive counseling. Women who went to medical providers were almost twice as likely to receive counseling from their provider as those who didn't. And government providers were the most likely to provide counseling, though this difference was biggest in urban areas. In rural areas, there was virtually no difference between government and private providers in terms of providing post-abortion contraceptive counseling. So in conclusion, none of these are very surprising. The primary obstacles to abortion in this context are family opposition, fear of side effects, and general accessibility issues, distance and cost. All of these factors are much more prominent in rural areas than they are in urban areas. A significant proportion of women who do want an abortion do not even attempt. Many of the abortion attempts, then, of those who do attempt, many of those use very ineffective or potentially dangerous methods, such as unknown pills that they're being given. While most women are satisfied with the service they receive, the high incidence of morbidity, relative ineffectiveness, and the lack of contraceptive or other counseling accompanying the attempt indicate important areas for improvement. So what are the target issues? Clearly family opposition is the most important factor here, but we do not yet understand exactly what is going on within the family dynamic. Why is there disagreement? How do we reduce this? Who is making the decision? Is this something that's happening between a husband and a wife? Is this a larger family decision? Not enough research has been done to really explore these issues. Clearly, government provision remains a major problem. Accessibility is still poor, particularly for rural women. Morbidity remains very high, regardless of where women go. And of course, contraceptive use is very low. Information is scarce, even from places where you would expect it to be most available. Without addressing the contraceptive issues, the reproductive health needs of women in this area are not likely to be met anytime soon, and neither are their abortion needs.